Well, praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Go with me to Luke chapter 18 and verse 1. Let's just take a minute and pray in the Spirit if you're able to. There's something. Tendo cotale sequento to sotorana di su tutto scutromo cotasse tre che testre coto stroto to sandro mucunta se crenche testro to sotroto so a rombo tu scutro sotromo to scutro postropo to cotassa tra e santo costro costo saeta satana sikiti. Yeah. Tiffany, will you stand out in the aisle? Jeff, will you follow me over here, brother? This is the way God's leading me to do this. If you just stand over there, praise God. Go behind her, please. Hallelujah. Just put your hands out. Father, I just thank you. Thank you. Yes. O conta se te sencuto sotorata siti siti sitri. O ta se te se. Yes, yes, the time. The time is now. The time is now for reaping. The time is now to walk into those things that I have had reserved for you. I've not forgotten. I've not forgotten. They've been waiting. They've been in store for this time. The time is now, and the reaping will begin. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. And the reaping will begin. So just put that in your mouth. The reaping will begin. The reaping will begin. The reaping will begin. Praise God. We thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. 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 The time is now. The reaping begins. Yeah. Thank you, Father. We worship you and praise you. We worship you and praise you. Yeah. Tiffany, see, God doesn't see like man sees. God sees the heart. He sees the heart, and there's a tender heart in there for him, and I just obey everything that comes your way. Everything that comes your way from him, you obey, and you will not regret it, and you'll walk into things that will blow your mind. You won't even realize how good it can be for you, but the reaping begins now. Yeah, he's seeding your heart. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Luke chapter 18 and verse 1, Father, help us tonight to do, to say what you want to say. Father, we love you. We thank you for impartations. We thank you for revelations. We thank you for help from the Holy Ghost. And Father, I just thank you that as we get into the Word tonight, bullseyes will be hit. Father, I thank you that, Father, the exact thing you need to say tonight, Father, through me will be said. Father, I yield myself to you. I want to be a faithful messenger tonight. So I thank you for boldness. I thank you for utterance. Father, this is the opportunity for us to go higher, to get better, to increase and to change. And so we recognize that, and we're hungry, and we're excited about it in Jesus' name. Amen. In Luke chapter 18 and verse 1, we're on a prayer series here. It says, "And he spoke a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not faint." And so we see right there, there's a benefit to praying, that the result will be not fainting. And we can't afford to faint because the Bible says that if we faint not, we'll reap, right? We'll walk into what he has for us. And so we're trying to get people to pray is what we're trying to do. In these last few weeks, we're just breaking down walls, you know, trying to get the religion out of it, trying to get the time requirements out of it, trying to get your head out of it, and just spending time with him, amen? And to renew your mind to him and the relationship that he wants to have with us. And so you can go back and look at some of those messages. I think this is our fourth week. But we saw last week a very important principle when it comes to prayer. And religion doesn't like this. And I know I certainly wasn't taught this, that God needs me. He needs you to move on this earth. And, you know, religion really handcuffs the believer, really, and ends up handcuffing God by making it seem like God just is on his own program and we're just his pawns, you know, and he's the puppet master up there and we're just going like little marionettes, you know, and like whatever, and he's just pulling all the strings. But God, we saw last week that God needs us to pray to move on the earth. And a great man of God, John Wesley, made the statement, it seems God is limited by our prayer life, that he can do nothing for humanity unless someone asks him. Well, great that John Wesley had that revelation, but it has to back up the word if we're gonna by the word if we're gonna receive that. Amen. And we looked at several places in the Bible that showed us that God needs us to pray. Right? We saw the one that's just the one that's the tell-all for me, and the smoking gun, I guess you'd say, is, you know, he gave Jesus his greatest thing to die on the cross for us, for the whole world, right? But it takes someone to get saved. And we looked at how someone gets saved, and they have to hear, and somebody has to be sent and to preach the word. And so there needs to be laborers that go forth. And so you'd think that if God could just do whatever he wants with the greatest promise of all and the greatest sacrifice he made, he just would send laborers himself. But yet we see in Matthew 9, he's telling us to pray for it. And we looked at a little bit, remember why this is because it happened in the garden, right? Man transferred authority to the devil. Satan is now in control and has every right to be in control. That's why, just stop and look at the world. Yeah. It's a nasty mess. There's a lot of horrible things going on. Well, it's not because God's pushing the button for these people to struggle, or this group of people, or this storm to come. No, there's a devil. But Jesus gave us back the authority over the devil by defeating. And then by defeating him once and for all, death and the grave, and by receiving Jesus, we now have authority, don't we? And so we're learning that. And one of the things that God, if you go with me real quick to James 4 and verse 2, James chapter 4 and verse 2, it says, you lust and you have not, you kill and you desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet you have not. He says, you simply have not because you ask not. And we don't need to turn there. We've looked at this a lot. But heaven's invitation, of course, Hebrews 4:16, says what? Come to my presence that you may obtain, right? So in these two verses, God is telling us he wants us to receive. Yes. Amen? Our God wants to bless us. He wants to do things for us, but notice he says you have not because you ask not. Well, why? Because God just can't bless us just because he wants to. And he says, come to my throne in prayer. That's what it's signifying. Come to my throne and then you can obtain. Why? Because there's that transaction that happens. When we pray, we untie his hands and the authority that we have on the earth, and God can move. But how wonderful that God wants us to have things. But he tells us we have to ask for them. And that won't make much sense unless you have your mind renewed to last week. Because again, religion what? Well, if God wants it for me, I'll have it. If he doesn't, then I won't. And I must not have it because he doesn't want me to have it. But two things. We have to ask, but the way we ask is vital. Amen. We talked about praying in the beginning of how, you know, I was in love with the sport of baseball since I was young. Just couldn't get enough of it. Wanted to play it all the time. And just the love of running around, catching the ball, throwing the ball, hitting the ball. And that was enough. It hooked me, you know. And then I found out, okay, well, there's a batter's box. You have to stay in that. And then there's a white line going down the right side and a white line going on the left side. And you found out there were guidelines and things. And I loved the sport so much that the guidelines just kind of helped keep the game in order and helped keep the game moving along, right? Well, it didn't spoil it for me. Well, it's the same thing in prayer. We don't want to get into rules and regulations, but there's guidelines to keep us within the boundaries where we can keep moving forward and keep this thing going. And so James chapter 1, we're already in James. Go to James chapter 1 and verse 6. So we have to ask. We saw that last week. We have a part. Whatever we bind, he binds. Whatever we loose, he looses. But then he says he wants us to receive. Told us that in James 4, 2, told us that in Hebrews 4, 16, but he says this, but let him ask in faith. Nothing wavering. We've been looking at this on Sunday morning. Nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. And so he's telling us, I want you to ask, but you have to ask in faith, right? And so what we're going to talk about tonight is what we call, that we really heard the term, at least the first time I ever heard the term was from Brother Hagin, the prayer of faith. Because he says, I want, because the verse before talks about receiving something from him, and this would work not just for what that said in verse 5, which was wisdom, it works for anything. He says, you can ask, I want you to ask, I want you to receive, but you have to ask in faith. If you don't ask in faith, well, what is asking? Asking is just one different form of prayer. It's communication, and one of the things and guidelines that he says we can do in prayer is ask him for things. But he says, I just need you to know, you have to ask in faith. And so why is it called the prayer of faith? Because asking is a prayer, and he says it has to be in faith, so it's called the prayer of faith. Or when you go in his presence to receive, you better go in faith and have it done right. So go to Mark 11, 24. That's what we're going to talk about tonight. And I just want you to know this. Right off the bat, Jeff, can you get me a little tissue, please, right under there? I don't see one up here. Thank you very much. It's okay. Mark 11, 24. Now, here's the awesome thing. If you're in a place, well, you'll see here what the requirements are, but if there's things you need, something you need changed, this is the answer here tonight. You know, the first time I was acquainted with this was Brother Hagin's testimony of being on the sick bed, incurable heart condition, you know, and he came across Mark 11, 23 and 24 and worked it the way that you're supposed to work it, and it raised him up. And then the man built his ministry on that verse. And, you know, when I went to Brother Hagin's, I went to his funeral, but the day before, day or two before, I can't remember how, there were so many people coming in for it that I don't remember if they stretched it out longer, but, you know, he was laying in the casket, and they had his Bible that he preached from, and they had it open to Mark 11, 24. That was what he built his ministry on. And so many testimonies that Brother Hagin told us was based off of or the results of Mark 11, 24. In fact, when Jesus told him to go teach my people faith, that was his verse that he built his whole ministry on. Hallelujah. So Mark 11, 24, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. So we're talking about prayer, and tonight we're going to talk about the prayer of faith. And we're just going to break this down a little bit and say whatever comes up and is on my heart to say. But notice this first part of this verse says, therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire. So in this whole verse, it starts with a need or a want or desire, and it ends with you having it. So, and Jesus doesn't lie. The word works. This verse, this Mark 11, 24, this, in my Bible, four lines is so power-packed. So let's break it down. Let's dive in. Whatsoever things you desire. So he says that there is a stipulation. There is a guideline here of receiving, and it has to be something you desire. Well, that word desire means to require, which would what? Be a need, or to crave. Amen? A desire, a craving, a requirement of something you need. So he's saying whatsoever you need and whatsoever you crave yourself. And then he tells you how to get it. Amen? Well, we should just stop right there and think to ourselves, is there anything we need right now? Is there anything we need right now? Because this is going to be your answer of how to get it. Is there anything that we desire or crave that's just something, you know, in us? And I'll talk about some of those things in personal examples because we're all different. This is how you get those things. Amen? And here's the thing. This is the awesome thing. We don't have to feel bad that we're not in here tonight, not talking about how to get people saved, right? We're not talking about how to save the world. We're talking about how to receive from him, and that's okay because he told us, I want you to receive from me. Amen? He says, you have not because you ask not. So he told us, ask me for things. Just make sure it's in faith. So praise God. So I want to break down these two words here, to require or to crave. And first one I want to talk about is require. What does that mean? It's a requirement. It's a need. Aren't you glad that God has promised you to meet your needs and then gave you a verse to make sure you get your needs met every single time? This is how you do it, praise God. Philippians 4:19, let's go there real quick, talking about wanting to meet our needs. Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all your needs, everything you require, according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Well, when you have a need, right, you have to ask him for it, but you have to ask in faith. So we need to do this the right way. But aren't you so glad that there's a supply for you that's just waiting for you to cooperate with the word and then you can receive it? You know, I was meditating on this earlier tonight and thinking about some things personally in that. And, you know, the supply, you have to understand, is attached to the need. Okay? The supply is attached to you. Why am I saying that? Because there's times that needs show up or needs are created, or God will even, you know, there's one of the things that's on my heart that Lord puts things on my heart that are kind of, if I had a radar, they're kind of floating around out there, little blips on the radar. And as I meditate, I may come closer and closer until I can deliver the message. One of the things that God has put on my heart is to share a message about how he will at times lead you to create needs in your life, and that we have, and it's biblical, where we'll see where he'll put something on your heart to do or to go into, and it won't make sense to your finances and it won't make sense to your paycheck, but he's doing that because he wants to get you into more. But see, here's the thing with those things, or even when needs show up, we don't have to be alarmed by the need because the supply is attached to the need. And what I was thinking of earlier, and just meditate on this because it will help your faith, is that there's times needs will show up, or God will lead you into a need, or God will put something on your heart that becomes a need, and you've never even had a supply for that amount of money or that supply for that. Well, the reason is because you never needed it. But when you understand that the supply is attached to the need, that when the need shows up, it doesn't matter that the supply isn't already there. It's not needed to be there at times. I know this, that when God led us into our house, it was mind-blowing to me, the price of the house and the monthly payment, and I didn't have it. I didn't have it anywhere close to it. But I got into faith, and God did some things supernaturally, and I started to see, wow, the supply seems to be there every month. Well, I'd never seen a supply needed for something like that before, but I didn't need to see it because I never needed it. Amen? So when you have a need, don't fret that you can't see the supply or even imagine the supply. Just always know the supply is attached to the need. And God is saying, I want to meet your needs, but the way I'm going to meet your needs is through faith. The prayer of faith, right? Whatsoever things you desire, or you could say it this way, whatsoever things you need, right? When you pray, believe you receive them, and you'll have them. He tells you the surefire way to never go again without a need being met. Do you see that? Amen. And in Matthew 6 and verse 8, what does he say? Let's look at it. Matthew 6 and verse 8. The prayer of faith. Matthew 6 and verse 8. Look what he says. Be there not for therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of. Well, that's great that he knows we have need of, but we know his hands are tied. And it says, before you ask him. So Jesus is expecting us to ask him for our needs. Do you see that there? Before you ask him, God already knows, but he's saying, to get your needs met, it doesn't matter that I know. Remember, because what we said, knowledge doesn't equal permission. You have to ask in the name of Jesus, right? That unties the hands of God. But praise God, I'm so thankful that, number one, my needs fit into Mark 11:24. Whatsoever things I require, whatsoever things. And when you have a need, it's also a desire. I don't desire to go without. I don't desire to lack. You know, all of us ought to be thinking right now about the things that we're struggling with or things that we need right now, because this is how you're going to start checking boxes off. You know, I had my iPad list gets shorter and shorter. I had so many things on there, believing God for, desire in this, needing this. And I just put Mark 11:24 to practice, which I'm teaching tonight. We've heard it before, but solidify some of our belief in some of this stuff. And just start checking them off the list. This is how you're going to get these things checked off. Praise God. Hallelujah. And notice he said all your needs. Maybe you're here and you got 12 needs. You got to pray the prayer of faith, maybe not 12 times. You put all 12 in the one or pray it 12 different times for different things, whatever. But it doesn't matter how many you have. He said all of them. Every single one of them. Hallelujah. And how many of you know that if he tells us that we can desire things, which we're going to go into, how many of you know if he says you can have your desires, and then we start to go down that road, how many of you know that in a way becomes a need because he said we could have it? So that means we can believe for the finances on those things too, and that's what I want to go into second here when he says desire, crave. He's not just talking about meeting your needs. And how many of us need help with that? John 16:24. We know this verse. So we're starting a little slow here, but we'll get into it. John 16:24. I mean, even as I preach, there's things in my life I need. And I'm like, okay, this is how I'm going to get it. This is how I'm going to do it. Up until now, or hitherto, you've asked nothing in my name. Ask. There it is again. Ask me, and you shall receive. What comes before the receiving? The asking. Yeah. Ask, and you shall receive. Notice this. That your joy may be full. You know, when I fill my gas tank up, that's a need being met. But my gas tank being filled up does not fill my joy. I mean, I'm glad. And I'm joyful. But it's not like it's, there's other things that would make me more joyful than my gas tank being filled up. Right? I'm thankful. Don't misunderstand me. He's trying to show you something different here. He's saying, I want you even to ask me in things for your own life of your joy being full. Glory to God. Don't you love Psalm 37? It says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Right? And then it says, trust in him, and he'll bring it to pass. Amen. Praise God. I'm so glad that he's the El Shaddai God, that he doesn't just have enough to meet my needs, but he also knows, this will help you, remember the human, what's the word that's escaping from me? The whole idea of a human being, right? Everything from top to bottom, thoughts, desires, emotions, and things. He authored all of them. So if he didn't want us to not to just have our needs met, it would have been terrible and unjust of him to make human beings to enjoy certain things and like certain things. What's it called? Tastes. We all have different tastes. And, you know, for me, you know, I get so excited about being in the outdoors and things with hunting and stuff, whereas another person, that's the biggest waste of time. She likes to shop, and I think that's the biggest waste of time, unless it says Cabela's. Then I'm all good. I'm happy and good. Right? Some of us like to, you know, I know, like Pastor Tim Stallman, he's into like old cars and getting them restored and things. That sounds so lame. To me, but he likes it. You know, he when we were younger, had a desire to start sailing and started sailing out in Lake Erie and things. And again, lame. It's lame to me, you know. But we have our things that we don't know why. We're drawn to them. Well, God made us that way. Amen? And some of these things are out of our reach and out of our grasp, but the prayer of faith will bring them to us. And I'm so glad he's a God that meets more than just my needs. You know, one way you can see this is the Garden of Eden. Always go back to the beginning to look at how God intended. He dropped mankind in a garden that so superseded what they needed They had everything, prosperity and joy. And I mean, they had everything they could have ever wanted or needed in the garden. It was heaven, literal, heaven on the earth. And he said, here you go, Adam and Eve. It's for you to enjoy. More than enough to meet their needs. Think about Job. When Job lost everything, God didn't just restore him to just meet his needs. God doubled the already wealthiest man on the earth. Excess and increase. Praise God. Go to Matthew 7. This kind of goes along with our offering. Matthew 7. See, because why are we pointing this out? Because I know I'm praying. I know that we've been battered by religion. And, you know, people that are on the outside looking in, man, they're just looking for opportunities to criticize Christians. Right? And it's like they're just looking for any little thing that we say or do, you know. And they can criticize us, you know, for having fun or, you know, having nice things. Have you ever been on the receiving end of that? I've been on the receiving end of that. You know, their eyes are, why do you need that? Why do you have to have that? You know, so-and-so. I remember this, that Rhema would have their light show at Christmas, and it was just magnificent. And it would be an outreach, you know, to in the nativity scene and different things throughout it. And how many of that costs big dollars to do that, to put up and to keep that going? I mean, because you should have seen it. I mean, I can imagine the electric bill. But people on the outside looking in would criticize it and say, well, if you could use that money for the poor. Well, who says they're not giving money to the poor? Be careful to never get the Judas spirit. Remember that lady dumped that whole year's worth of salary out onto Jesus to prepare him, bless him, the alabaster box of ointment. One translation says it was worth a year's wages. And what did Judas say? That's excess. That could have been sold and given to the poor. Well, we already know his heart wasn't to give to the poor. It was to put more money in the money bag that he was taken from. Everybody has an agenda. But see, when you understand your Heavenly Father, he's an excessive dad. And in Matthew chapter 7, in verse 7, it says, ask, there it is again, it'll be given to you. Seek, you'll find. Knock, it'll be opened to you. You know what 7 is? That's God saying, I'm going to triple it to try to get stuff into your life. I'm going to say it in all different ways. You know, sometimes you have to speak it in different ways for people to get it. Ask, seek, and knock so I can get something to you. For everyone that asks, verse 8, receive. Everyone that seeks, finds, and him that knocks shall be open. Or what man is there among you whom his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts on your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give needs to them? No, good things. Good things. Well, that's my needs, but it's also my desires as well. Hallelujah. Now go back to Mark 11, 24. So now, I hammer on that because I think for us a lot of times it's easy to accept that he meets our needs, and my needs being met, I can wrap my head around that. But you know, that vacation that I'm desiring, I don't know. Or, you know, that this certain thing that I'm desiring, I don't know. Well, it's in you. You desire it. He said, I'll give you the desires. Amen? And I believe you can look at that verse a couple ways. You know, not only will he give them to you, but I believe those things are from him. He put some of these things in you. He made me, you know, praise God. So you need to be thinking right now, what are these things? What are these things that I personally desire? Because he said, I want your joy to be full. See, there's things with hunting and stuff and different things. That's not going to fulfill your joy, but he's interested in your joy. And so you need to be thinking these things right now as we're going forward in this. And what are those needs you have? What are those desires you have? But notice Mark 11, 24, it says, therefore, saying, so now we're going to find out. Now we find out what qualifies, our desires and our needs. Now he's going to start to tell us how to get it. When you pray, so there has to be prayer involved to get it, which is what? Just communion with the Father. When you pray, the prayer of faith, here it is, believe that you receive it. And then it says, and then you will have that. So here we go now. Let's look at this because this is where we trip up and stumble. When you pray, he says, to get to the end of receiving it, you have to believe in that place that you received it, right? Well, here's the conundrum with it. If you're praying about a need or praying about a desire and asking him, it's probably because you don't have it. And you can't see it, which means what? You can't touch it. You're not experiencing it. You're not living it. Your flesh isn't experiencing it. Your mind, your eyes, your ears, touch, you're not living it. And so what are we? We're touch, seeing, and hearing, sense that we rely on. That's what we've been talking about on Sunday morning. And so that's the conundrum with this whole prayer of faith, is that he says for you to receive it, when you pray, when you can't see it, touch it, or because I imagine you're praying because you want it bad enough, or it's, things are going so bad, you actually have to turn to the right place. In that place, he says, you got to believe it's yours. Well, I want to help you with that. So he's saying to you, I want you to have confidence in that moment of prayer, which is what? The moment of lacking. It's the moment of when you're going without. When you're in that place praying, it's because you are going without. You need, you want, you're requiring something, you're desiring something. So he wants you to have confidence when you pray. You want me to help you to give you confidence? John chapter 11 and verse 38. Just a good friendly reminder of this stuff. John 11 and verse 38. This is the story of Lazarus. I'm just going to read four verses here. John 11, 38. See, these are the things that he's telling us that are principles, that are guidelines that he put in here, that if, this is what's awesome, it's fail-proof. If you'll just get a hold of these things, it's not an if it will work, it's the word, it will work for you. In John 11, 38, it says, Jesus, therefore, again, groaning in himself, came to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Now, remember what Jesus said way back a few days ago. He said, this is not a sickness and a death. He's not going to stay dead. This is for the glory of God. The will of God in this situation was that Lazarus not stay dead. Okay, you need to understand that. Because if not, and we just think that everybody's supposed to be raised from the dead, man, we are going to disturb some funerals. Well, Jesus did it with Lazarus. Yeah, but Jesus also told us the will. It wasn't. Don't go trying to raise someone from the dead unless you know that you know that you're supposed to be trying to raise somebody from the dead. If you learned anything tonight, that's great advice. Verse 39, Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time he stinks, for he has been dead 4 days. Jesus said unto her, said I not to you that if you would believe, you'd see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes. Now, I've mentioned this before, but I love it. This is what Jesus said right before he received. Father, I thank you that you've heard me. See, Jesus knew something. If I get my Father to hear me, then, because he wasn't here tiptoeing, wondering, right? Because he goes down in verse 43, and in a loud voice, wasn't shy about it, in a loud voice he said, Lazarus, let's go, come forth. Yes. What was he? He was confident that when he opened his mouth and said, Lazarus, come forth, Lazarus was going to come forth. Well, what made him confident? He tells us here. In verse 41, Father, I thank you that you've heard me. And I know, verse 42, that you hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by said it, they might believe what you have sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. So Jesus is telling us a clue here. In that moment, he did not rely on his anointing. He did not rely on his ministry. He did not rely about the prophecies that went before him. In that moment, for a miracle, for the change that God said could be his, all the confidence that he needed was that God heard him. What's Jesus saying here? When I know you hear me, I know I have. Well, thank God he told us in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14. Glory to God. How in the world can you be confident, because faith is nothing wavering, you believe you got it before you can see it. How can you be confident if you have this revelation? You know what this revelation does? You don't have to now think about how it can happen. You don't have to think about where it could come from. You don't have to think of who could he use to do this. Nope. All you have to be concerned with is one thing and one thing only. Exactly what Jesus was concerned with. What? If I can get you to hear me. That's because there's with the hearing, there's an automatic having. And 1 John 5:14 says, this is the confidence. Well, what is faith? Faith is confident. Faith is belief, right? All of us believe the sun will rise tomorrow. Well, what's that belief? We're all confident. We're not wondering. We're not wavering. I'm not sure. No, we know that's what faith is. And he says, ask in faith to receive. So we have to ask in full confidence. Well, how do we get that confidence? Here it is. This is the confidence that we have in him. That if we ask anything according to his will, look at this, he hears us. So how do we get, because what Jesus said, if he hears me, I got it. How do we get God to hear us? In the asking, we have to know what God's will is. But look what it says in verse 15. And if we know that he hears us, so if we can get him to hear us, look at what it says. Whatsoever we ask, we know we have it. Glory to God. That's what Jesus was saying. I know you hear me, so I know I have this. I'm about to stand forth to a man that's been dead for days, right? Who they're even pointing out how the corpse is going to stink and that this is, you know, it's even getting worse and worse here. And I'm about to stand forth for all these people and expect a dead man to come back to life. And I don't, all I need to be concerned with is that you heard me. If I get you to hear me, I have it. And that's what he says here. And if we know he hears us, well, how do we get him to hear us? Verse 14 told us, we ask according to his will. And if we know he hears us, we know we have the petitions desired of him. Well, what did we find out in the first part of this sermon? Whatsoever things you desire. So he's telling us we can go to him, it's his will, with things that you personally desire or crave, and things that you personally require or need. So what am I telling you if the light bulbs haven't gone off? Your needs equal his will. Your desires or cravings or the interests you have equal his will. So when you go to him about the car payment or school clothes or the national fuel bill coming up in the winters, it gets bigger. When you go to them for those things, that's his will. And if we ask according to his will, the Bible says he hears us. And if we can get him to hear us, we automatically have it. So we don't have to worry, where's the extra money going to come from? As I'm preaching this, I'm getting revelation on my own life and saying, oh, okay, wow, what a dummy. Why didn't I see that before? But thank you, Father. It's popping. Yes, he loves you that much. That your desires are just as important to him as the national fuel bill, as the food on your table. And the Bible tells us the key in the whole thing is what? Asking according to his will. Well, now you know. All your needs and all your personal desires are his will. He told you it was. I want to make you joyful. So, if we go to him now with those things in the prayer of faith and do this, we get the result of it, which is what? And you will have it. Praise God. Confidence in prayer. Now, go back to Mark 11, 24. Because what do we say? Well, but I really don't need that. Yeah, but you liked it. And you desired it. And that was good enough for him to say, it's my will. I give you good things. Hallelujah. I think about, you know, just my own kids, and you think about your own kids. You've already been shown in the Bible and told that you're not as good of a dad as your father is. Not as good as a parent as your father is. You're not. And none of us in this room stop at just our basic needs of our kids. None of us do. We all go overboard, right? Maybe even into the spoiling categories, right? Hallelujah. And your father's so much better. Praise God. He wants confidence. Wants confidence in that moment of prayer. How do we get that confidence? If it's His will. See, you can look at 1 John 5 and verse 14. This is one place, just look at it mechanically. Because He tells you, if you get me to hear it, you have it. It's a mechanical transaction. It's an automatic thing is what I'm trying to say. His will, He hears, and if He hears, He has it. So all you have to be concerned with is it His will? And then you go to Him, and then you have confidence. Well, I don't see how that could come. That's not my problem. Did He hear me or not? Jesus didn't stand there and say, I don't know how a human can come back from the dead, and I don't know how this is going to happen and all that. No, I just got to get Him to hear me according to His will. According to His will. And then Mark 11, 24 says this, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you'll have them. Well, how in the world can we believe? Because we asked according to His will and He heard us. Stick with your job. It was years ago. The Packers should have went to the Super Bowl. I don't remember if you remember this play. I've mentioned this before. And it was a special teams guy. And they were I don't remember who the team was that beat them, that ended up going to the Super Bowl and represented the NFC. Does anybody know who it was? Seahawks. Oh, Green Bay fan over here. He's sad. See, you remember the heartbreakers. Yeah, so the Seahawks went to the Super Bowl. And all Green Bay had to do was recover an onside kick. And the percentages of onside kick, I think they're like, it's like in the single digits of onside kicks that are actually recovered. And so they had a guy, you know, and what the kicker does is he kicks it short and they try to get the ball before the receiving team gets it. And so the Packers set it up to have one guy, and all his job was no matter where the ball was, just block the guy in front of you. I don't care if the ball is getting ready to fall into your arms. You are not the designated catcher. We have somebody that's paid way more than you behind you that has better hands than you. If you block the person in front of you, it will keep them away from the ball, and the guy with the better hands will catch it. Well, you catch that ball and fall down. I mean, you have the ball. You get up, and you get all the glory, right? You're the one that recovered the ball. Now you're going to the Super Bowl. And here it was, this kick. And it's getting ready to fall right in this guy's hands. And instead of doing what he's supposed to do when the ball's kicked and run up and block, and the guy from behind would run up and catch that gets paid the big bucks, he's seeing the glory in his eyes. And he's thinking, wow, all the highlights are going to have me catching this. I don't know if he's really thinking that, but he didn't do his job. And it went bloop. And that's why he's not getting paid the big bucks the guy behind him is. Fell into the Seahawks' hands. Seahawks went down, scored, went to the Super Bowl. Seahawks should have never been in that Super Bowl if one person would have just done their job, got everything else in trouble. And with this prayer of faith, and in faith, we get ourselves into so much trouble because we try to do God's job. His job is to figure out how it's going to happen. His job is to figure out who He's going to talk to, how He's going to bring it in, how He's going to make that miracle happen. That's His job. My only job is making sure He hears me, which is what? Asking Him according to His will. Then I automatically have it, praise God. And then look what it says, and you shall have them. Praise God. Now, we know this, that the having... there's a few things. I want to talk about this just real quick in the short time. I have a list of just four quick things I want to mention to you about the you will have them because you need to know this. What does Hebrews 6:12 tell us? It says that we receive the promise of God through faith and
patience.
Well, when He says you shall have them, notice He didn't put a time frame on these things because that verse covers everything, and different things are dependent upon different times and different things happening and things changing and moving and turning And so He says, you'll have it, but you have to understand patience is a part of this. Praise God. So when He's saying you'll have them, He's already telling you got to believe you have it before you have it. And the best way I can explain that is like when you order something. You know, one thing that was a desire for me is Caleb is starting to hunt now, you know, and I go all out on my camouflage. I'm a preppy camel guy here. Because for years, my dad put me in stuff that was uncomfortable and was inadequate just because didn't know any better, and it wasn't that important to him, you know. And so I would shiver and be uncomfortable, and so now I buy for comfort with my camo. And I want the same for Caleb when he's out there. I don't want him to experience those things and not and go without. And so I've been looking for a good coat for him and ordered him one from Cabela's, one of their outfitter coats. And he put it on. He's like, man, I feel like I'm in a blanket. I can't believe he's already in a men's medium. He's going to be taller than me. If you haven't wondered about that, he's going to be taller than me. And, you know, when I placed that order, because I've wanted that from him, desired that from him, and I've looked around all the stores and I can't find everything. It's not that big of a deal because you just go to a better store that has them, but whatever. When I placed that order and hit send on that, confirmed that with a credit card and hit send, I didn't have that coat in my possession, but something changed. Yeah. Right? There's no more thoughts anymore of he needs a new coat. I don't have it, but there's no more thoughts of that anymore. There's no more thoughts of thinking, well, we're getting down the nitty-gritty here. He's gonna have to wear his old coat. It's not going to be big enough. All those thoughts are gone, and I don't have the coat in my hand. Why? Because I know when I place the order, right, we get a confirmation, right, number on it. And I always say this, that the Bible is our confirmation number. Okay, it's confirmed. You get an email. Here's the confirmation number that you get it. And whatever he speaks in your heart or desires your heart and whatever's on the written words of this page, it's a confirmation number that when you ask for it, it's like hit and send on the computer, and you can act like you got it because you do have it if you renew your mind to the word. You might not physically have it, just like I didn't physically have that coat, but now it was like he doesn't need a coat anymore, but yet he didn't have the coat, but he doesn't need it anymore because I put the order in. That's believe and you receive it, and you'll have it, glory to God, but you have to know that patience is part of it. Also, remember this. In that patience part is when all the doubt and unbelief starts to come in, right? Always remember this, God is not a liar. Right. Numbers 23:19, God is not a man that should lie, nor a son of man that should repent. He never lies. If he told you, right, what do you say in Mark 11:24? You'll have them. If you ask me for desires or needs, and you believe that when you pray, I'm telling you my part, I will get it in your hands. And we told you how that middle part to work it out. Just make sure it's his will. And you got it. What's his will? Needs and desires. Pretty much covers it all. Yes. Amen. Amen? Praise God. God is not a liar. I remember one time we got a bill in the mail. This was years ago. And got paid every 2 weeks at that time. And so all the money had gone out. And an unexpected bill had come in the mail. And they were like, it's going to collections, you know. It was an error that they... I don't remember if it was in moving and stuff. It had gotten lost or whatever, and I was unaware of this bill, and it was $1,000 and some, and I did not have $1,000 and some, and I remember telling her about it and, you know, not to pick on her and just tell you what she said. She said, what are we going to do? And I'm not saying it was a super doubt and unbelief statement. What are we going to do? And out from my spirit, I said, we're going to act like the Bible's true. And I got down on my knees, and the first thing I did is I held the bill up before God. I said, Father, I thank you, you're not a liar. You're not a liar. You said you'd meet all my needs. So I thank you, you're not a liar. Why? Because my mind and my thoughts and my feelings and the pressure, it's so loud, right? Where's it going to come from? How are you going to do it? All I need to know is it's his will to meet my needs. So I said, Father, I thank you, you're not a liar. Praise God. Then I went through the steps of the prayer of faith, and the money came supernaturally. A few weeks later, it was amazing, building our faith. Go to Galatians 6 and verse 9. Here's what you have to know about the you will have them part. Patience. God's not a liar. I'm pretty much just saying the same thing in all these things. Let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season, here it is, we shall reap. If we faint not. Well, what's fainting? Discouragement. Wrong talking, doubt and unbelief. That's fainting, right? Not doing what I'm going to tell you to do last here in this prayer of faith. But another verse where he tells you, you're going to have this. I'm not a liar. It takes patience. You're going to have this. Now go to Colossians 4 and verse 2. And then I'm going to just tell you just a few examples of how I did this and what you're going to do for your own life. Colossians 4 and verse 2. And you know what we're going to do this time? Because we've done this maybe before. We're going to see this to the end this time. What do I mean? We're not going to stop this until it shows up in our life. Because he said it would. Now what you have to understand about the prayer of faith is the prayer of faith is a prayer to be prayed one time. For that specific need is what I should say. What do I mean? Well, you get that bill in the mail. Okay, I went through the steps of the prayer of faith, you know. And now I just want you to know I don't think of the steps in my head. It's just in me, right? The steps are like the handles on luggage. Yeah, that's good. How much more awkward would luggage be without handles? It's like trying to move the bed mattress that doesn't have handles on it. It's like, would it have killed him to sew a couple handles on this thing to move this thing? That's why I always love when you pick up the boxes that have the little slits in the side of them so you can put your hand. Oh, they're so much easier, like little handles for you. And the steps are just handles to get you a handle on this. But as you go into this, it's just natural. It becomes natural. But with that bill, prayed and released my faith. Well, if I believe I received it when I asked him, asking him again for the same thing would show that I really didn't believe I received it the first time. And so many people are asking over and over the same thing, and they're just showing everybody in the world, you really weren't in faith when you asked it one time, because if you asked it the first time, you already got it. I didn't place that order for that coat, and because I didn't see it, go on and order another one to make sure, and just keep ordering them. No, I one time put the request in, and I get the confirmation, it's coming. Hallelujah. So it's a prayer to be prayed one time, but after you pray, you're not done yet. Colossians 4 and verse 2 tells you what to do next. Continue in prayer. Well, you don't continue in prayer by asking over and over again. You continue in prayer and watch in the same. So you're watching over that prayer. Watch over the same. What? The prayer. Watching over what? Make sure it comes to pass. With what? Thanksgiving. Father, you're not a liar. You said you'd meet all my needs. Well, you said, how do I get them met? Mark 11:24, whatsoever things I desire, crave, need, require, when I pray. So, Father, I know that you said if I ask you according to your will, you hear me. And all I need to do is make sure you hear me, and I have. Don't have to figure out how it's going to come, just you hear me. And I know you automatically hear me. Automatically hear me when I have this little thing. When I pray according to his will, I have this little thing called Apple TV. And it's hooked into my TV system, and Apple TV allows you to have all the different apps on that you want to watch, different apps, whether it's HBO, Netflix, you know, ordering movies, Amazon, just all sorts of different things on this thing. And here's the awesome thing. I don't know how it works or how it did it. I'm guessing Pastor Scott did something, worked his magic, waved his Pastor Scott wand over that thing, and it worked. I love the fact that when I turn my TV on to start, even though I have a separate remote for the Apple TV, the Apple TV automatically turns on with it. I don't have to do anything. I already know it's automatic. That's the way you have to get with this whole thing, with asking according to his will, or getting him to hear. All you have to do is make sure he hears you, which is easy. Ask according to his will. And then automatically, you get what you asked for. I know it seems mechanical, but it's the truth. The hearing equals the having. And so I said, Father, you said you'd meet my needs. That's according to your will. So I'm asking you. And sometimes I'll ask, or sometimes I'll just thank him for it. You know, either way, it doesn't matter. Just be in faith. I said, Father, I thank you. I'm asking for this money. You said you'd do it. Well, at that moment, I know by the word, I'm asking according to his will. When I ask according to his will, he hears me. And now, I know I have it automatically. So because I know I have it, the appropriate response when you're given something is to be thankful. Yeah, that's good. And so you continue to see that thing through. How? Watching over the prayer with thanksgiving. You know what the Bible said about Abraham in Romans 4:20? It says he was, well, I'll read it in Amplified. No unbelief or distrust made him waver, doubt only question concerning the promise of God. But he grew strong and was empowered by faith as he gave praise and glory to God. This was before the baby showed up. He's in faith to receive, and now to watch over that word, what's he doing? Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. And it does something for your faith. You're watching that thing to the end. But how many of us would say, I haven't touched that thing in Thanksgiving, or I just keep asking over and over again? And we could say, you know what, I haven't really been in faith. Come on. I remember my first time with this, you know, at Rhema. And I needed $300 for my tuition. It was broken down by month. Every month, I can't remember. And my truck broke down when I got down there. The gas lines were leaking. You know the story. And I had a choice. Pay for my tuition or pay for my truck. My brilliant mind thought, I'm not going to pay for my tuition because I can't get to the school without the truck. So I paid for my truck and didn't have the money for my tuition, and it was due in like a few days. Had no family members are sending me money. They already think I'm nuts going to be a preacher. I mean, when you've told them the things that I've told them, they had the right to think that. And I remember Mark 11:24 and being there and studying Brother Hagin pretty much from February is when I first went to one of his conferences until August when I went to that school and just learning his ministry and listening about the prayer of faith. I said, wow, this qualifies for the prayer of faith. And I remember my apartment in Broken Arrow in Kenosha Street, got down on my knees and said, Father, you called me here. I know it's a need for this tuition to be met. Well, you said you'd meet my needs. And I'm asking according to your will. And if I know, I ask according to your will. You hear me. And if you hear me, I get it. That's all I got to worry about is you hearing me. I don't have to worry about how this is going to come or anything, you know. And so I got on my knees. I prayed for it. Believe God. And remember what I said after that? I said, Father, I know that you're so big and powerful that, you know, I had a Cabela's magazine on the back of the toilet. It's important to have good reading material in certain spots and places in your life, you know. And what's better than a Cabela's catalog? And so I was sitting there and I said, I know. I have so much faith this is going to happen, Father. You could make $300 appear in that book tomorrow. Now, I knew he can. He doesn't put money in there. But I just was demonstrating my faith by saying that. I woke up in the morning and kind of laughed to myself, looked through the book, and winked at him, you know, just. It was either that day or the next day. I can't remember. I'm sitting in class, and after class, a guy comes up to me. He says, do you need money? Well, when someone asks you that, it's kind of sheepish. I'm just didn't want to say yes, but I didn't want to lie either. I said, yeah, I do. He said, well, I was in service today or school today in class, and the Lord dropped into my spirit. There's someone around you that needs money. So I asked if it was the person to my left. I don't know if I was on his left or right, but you get the gist. I was on one side of him. Ask the person on my left, is that who it is? No. Is it the person right in front of me that needs money? Because you said there's someone around you that needs money. The Spirit of God said, no. Well, is it someone behind me? No. Was it this guy sitting next to me? Yeah, he's the one. So I said, yeah, I need money. Well, he said, well, this is from the Lord. And he put it right here in my breast pocket. Well, I got in my truck, my 1990 Nissan, and I unfolded three crisp $100 bills. I needed $300. That's what I needed, $300. But there was also a 10 in there. And if you know anything about Pastor Mike trivia, where did Pastor Mike go?
Lazio.
Yes. It's usually Juliet has all the trivia down. Did you know? What'd you say?
Nothing.
What'd she? Wendy's? Oh. Did anybody else know it was Mazio's? Jeff knew. I went to Mazio's. Don't ever forget it now. If you're ever in Broken Arrow, you got to stop at Mazio's. And I got a ham and cheese calzone with extra ranch dressing and a Pepsi, and I celebrated with that $10. It was the first time I'd worked the prayer of faith, praise God. Now, I want to close with this story because it just happened to me again the other day. You know what signifies the goodness of God to me and his faithfulness? It won't signify to you, but you know what it signifies to me? Black bears. Black bears show me of God's faithfulness and realness. And if you've been with me for a while, you know what I'm talking about. But I have always desired, I hunted from the time I was way too young to be holding a gun. My dad just threw me out there with it. And I think Sophia might be using the gun. I first took my first shot. I'm serious. My dad sold her dad the gun. And I'm pretty sure it's the gun that I used for my first time when I was just firing off shots into who knows where they went, you know, just could hardly lift the gun. It was like World War II. And I hunted for so many years. I'm talking more than 2 decades. Never saw a bear in the woods. One of the things we'd do would drive around the woods just sit there and just drive around and go real slow because I loved wildlife, just looking at the deer. And I never saw a bear, ever. And I was studying this about desires of heart. I said, I don't know why I want to see a bear. I don't know why this wildlife stuff's in me and nobody else can give a rip. Other people don't want to see bears. I said, I don't understand it. But Father, you said, whatsoever things I desire, believe I receive. And so I know a desire is something I want. It's part of your will. So I'm asking you to make more opportunities for me to see black bears in the woods. And so I asked him. Now remember, I'd never seen one in 2 decades. I can't remember the exact amount of time, it was within a year. I was seeing black bears all the time. The first encounter I had was in a tree stand, and a mom came through with 3 cubs and came right up underneath the stand, and the baby cub, I had a strap for my climbing tree stand, the baby cub was playing with it and put it in its mouth and was running around with my strap. I thought, oh, I need that strap to get out of here. It did end up leaving it. And then I was hunting down across from her parents' house in Sheffield, Pennsylvania. They live in the Allegheny National Forest. And it was a rainy morning, opening day of deer season. And I was hunting in the hemlocks. So when it rains, it's so quiet to walk. And so I'm standing against a tree, and the wind's going this way. So everything out in front of me, but I expected the animals to come from this way and behind me. So I wanted the wind to go that way. Everything coming in front of me would have smelled me. Anything behind me wouldn't have smelled me because the wind's going that way. And I'm standing against a tree, and it's just starting to get light out. And I look over the corner of my eye, and I see something moving, and I look, and there's a black bear, and he walks, he or she, we didn't have cubs, so I'm assuming it was a male, walked right by my stand. I could have reached out and pushed the thing. It was incredible, because I had no idea it was there. It walked right by me, and I just thought, you really meant business here, I guess. That one went away. As soon as that one went away, another one came in. And it happens to me all the time now. The other night I was hunting a stand for the very first time I'd ever hunted this stand. As soon as I step in the stand, I see something out of the corner of my eye, and I think it's a black cat. It's a little baby cub tiptoeing through the field. And then it took off running, and I got it on video, its little butt running away, you know? And then later in the night, 3 does came out in the field, and that baby bear came back up through that field, and that baby bear stood up and saw those does and took off running as fast as it could. But I have seen so many bears, and it's not coincidence, because it didn't start happening until I released my faith, and my Father was so good to me. And now it's like I see them all the time. They're on my trail cameras. In fact, I'm hunting a property now. That's this property that I hunted my whole life, 20-some years. The property right next to it is the property I'm hunting now. I don't hunt this property anymore. I never saw a bear on that property. And now I've already seen, whether it be with my own eyes or on my trail camera, 7 or 8 different bears on this property. So I wouldn't want that. I want that. I love it. What's he saying? I'm faithful. When I released my faith, I meant it, praise God. So we'd drive, not see bears, or I'd hunt, not see bears. Father, I thank you. I thank you I'm a bear magnet. I thank you bears, I'm going to start seeing bears. I know it seems so silly, but that's the point. To me, it's special. What is it for you? What are you desiring? What does the Father want to show off in your life? Amen? Don't make me tell you how I desired to be back, have backstage passes to the Amish. He gave me that too. He did, praise God. I could go on and on about little things, needs and desires. He's so faithful. Let's just praise him for his faithfulness. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Of course, you all seen the Christmas video. Barry's made an appearance in both videos. Y'all remember who Barry is, right? Remember, I forsook her last year for a hug and went right to Barry. Right to Barry. So now I see Bear every day. They're in my office now. Praise God. Father, we love you tonight. We're just so thankful. So grateful for your goodness. We just need our minds renewed on this stuff. And Father, I know that people have to have their minds renewed on a few things. Father, there's a few things that trip them up. Number one is even thinking they deserve it or are worthy of it or that you'd want. Father, you want to. But second is, Father, is when time passes and the patience part of it, people can get soured. People can think you forgot or people can think it's not happening for them. No, that's what the devil, that's fainting. If we can go back to the basics and know it's your will, which we saw tonight, desires and needs, We know you heard us in that prayer, and we know that we have. Father, the calendar is not the indicator of whether or not, you're faithful. If you heard us, we will have it. And Father, we trust you enough, Father, that if we stay in faith, it'll come. It'll come. It'll come. If it's a need, it'll come when we need it. If there's things that need to be changed and worked around and turned around and moved and put pieces put into places, Father, we trust that you'll do it. Let's stand to our feet and thank him. I think there's going to be some people getting in prayer tonight and making some requests, glory to God. I dare you. Jesus already dared you in Matthew 7:7. He said, I dare you ask. I dare you to seek. I dare you to knock. Praise God. We're not trying to be greedy or we're just taking what you said we can have. We don't have to feel bad for that. We love you, Father. You're good to us. We are going to have testimonies. We praise you and magnify you and glorify you. We thank you for it. Thank you for it, Father. I thank you for that. It's coming to pass. I thank you for that. I'm going to continue in prayer till it does. Glory to God. I'm going to watch over that till it does. I thank you, Father. You're so good to me. You're so good to me. Thank you. Thank you, Father. We bless you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Before you run out of here, I meant to send a slick text. I probably will tomorrow. Testimonies, we need to hear them. Because if you give me your testimonies of the prayer of faith or when people have had hands laid on them, it does something for all of us. That God's work and the power's working, it increases people's faith to stay with it. And so if you get out of this message, say, I'm going to release my faith, and something comes to pass, let me know. If you had hands laid on you recently or in the past and something changed, please let us know these things, right? We're just trying to give God the glory, but also to increase all of our faith. Amen? I sure do love all of you and appreciate you. Can't wait to see you this weekend. You're dismissed. Praise God.